Gang, welcome to the show. Hey, it's good to be back live. Patrick Slattery here, live. This is a live call-in show on RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network. Well, you know, I had an almost live show yesterday with Mark Collett. Good show, I thought. But for a week or 7 days or so, I had pre-recorded shows. I had a lot of stuff going on. But today I'll be taking callers, and the number here is 1-800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. And, you know, at the beginning of shows, I talk about CoCertified, which is totally my sponsor, and it's an app. And all you have to do is download it. You can go to thekosherquestion.com or nationalbugle.com, and you'll see the link. You download the app. It's $2.99. That's all you have to do. That's all you have to do. One time, $2.99. If you have an Android phone, you used to be able to download it for Apple, but not anymore, because Tim Cook is trying to screw CoCertified. Tim Cook is gay. CoCertified is totally not gay. But Tim Cook is still trying to screw CoCertified. I don't understand it. I don't get it. But anyway, it's just $2.99. Now, after the $2.99, you should have something left over. There should be something left over, because it's only $2.99. Republic Broadcasting. Go there. Now, why? Why? Well, if you heard the National Intel Report yesterday, Hour 2, with John Stadtmiller, his daily show, Hour 2, he was talking about being kicked out of his bank account. And this is something that's going around. I'm not sure if it was Chase Manhattan Bank or what bank it was, but he is looking to sue the bank. Great thing, great idea. This is exactly what we need to do. So he's got a plan, but I tell you what, no matter what the plan is, when you're talking about going to court and everything, you need to have a little bit of money in your pocket, and there's already the expense of running this platform, which is very important, because he's not kicking people off his platform. This is the only way I could have my own daily show. So this is great platform. But could you imagine if he's able to sue a major bank and get a big settlement? What he would be able to do? That would be just amazing. You could expand this, all sorts of things you could do. So it's important. So go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on the donate button and send shekels and dollars and euros and whatever you've got, Greek drachma or French francs or Irish punt or whatever they used to use. Okay. So, while I was gone, there was a lot of stuff that was going on. There's always a lot of stuff going on, it seems. You had the burning down of the Cathedral de Notre Dame in Paris on the Ile de la Cité. And we don't exactly know what happened, but there's some things we do know. One thing we know is that while the fire was going on, they were already saying, oh, we know this wasn't terrorism. We know it was an accident, which is, I think, rather unusual. Usually you put out the fire and you send in the fire marshals and they start inspecting and they'll see where the fire started. There's kind of a forensic science, not an exact science, but a forensic science. You can You can find out where things started, and then from where it started, maybe you get an idea of how it started, and how it started gives you an idea of who started it. But no, it's totally an accident. It's totally an accident because of the renovations. All right. Well, maybe it is. Maybe it is. Those things that do happen. Sometimes you've got renovations going on and scaffolding, and sometimes this happens. It does happen. It's possible. But it's not a sure thing. And there's no way you can know that while the fire is still burning. There was a security video that was released from some nearby building. And it wasn't, it's not high definition or anything, but it does seem to show a shadowy figure on the roof, and then a flash. But it's not the type of thing that couldn't be photoshopped, actually, or video shopped, however they do it. But certainly not beyond even a novice nowadays. So who knows? Who knows what happens? I don't say I know what happened. I just say it's strange that the authorities seem to know what happened. Especially seeing as this year there has been a whole slew of attacks on Catholic churches in France. Okay. 2 days ago in Sri Lanka, formerly called Ceylon, the island, large island off the southern tip of India, there was which is primarily Buddhist, and there's some Hindu. That's the main divide, actually, is a Buddhist-Hindu divide. You have the Sinhalese majority and a dark-skinned Tamil minority on the north coast that back in the 80s was fighting a bloody separatist war. But then I know some of the Tamil and maybe some of the Sinhalese are Christian. And when I saw the pictures in the newspaper of grieving people from the church, they were clearly Tamil. They were clearly dark-skinned Tamils, who some of them are Christian. I knew someone in college who was a Christian. He was actually a really horrible guy, but that's another story. Anyway, so you had this attack on the Christians, on the Christian church, and it was perpetrated by Muslims. I wouldn't say they're not trying to hide it. They are trying to hide it because they say it's an attack on Easter worshipers because they worship Easter. Easter bunnies, maybe. I like Easter bunnies. I like egg hunts. That's all good fun. But it wasn't an attack on Easter worshipers. It was an attack on Christians and Christianity. And regardless of whether or not Notre Dame turns out to be an accident, there is an attack on Christianity from not just from Muslims, but from Jews and from the Jewish power structure, which is repressing expressions of Christianity in the public square and wherever they can, nativity scenes and Christmas trees and wherever they can, replacing Merry Christmas with Happy Holidays. Replacing. I don't know how familiar you guys are with this, because I'm not sure how old you are and when you went to college, if you went to college or when you went to high school or whatever. But for the past probably 20 years, and it's accelerating, there's been a move to replace, when you're talking about dates in history, not to say AD and BC. Because AD, of course, is what, Annos Deum or something, year of our Lord, and BC stands for before Christ. And replace them with CE and BCE. It's a Jewish project, meaning current era and before the current era. I find it a little ironic because you're still dating things from the birth of Christ. And when I was teaching, I never did this, but I always was always tempted because I, because I'd use AD and BC. And I was once, somebody said something about, why don't you say BCE instead of BC. It's like an extra letter. But I was always tempted to say CE, which means Common Era, which is defined as starting in the year zero, which was the birth year of Jesus Christ our Lord. I always wanted to say something like that. I didn't. I wasn't that much of a troublemaker. I should have been, but I wasn't. So there is this attack, and we're gonna see where is it going. And of course, it overlaps with the attack on white people in the countries where we live, where whiteness is a bad word, white supremacy. And it's, you know, it's amazing that even somebody like Donald Trump, who I know a lot of us, well, pretty much everybody who's listening to this show has problems with him to a greater or lesser extent. I'm of course, very disappointed. You might have heard my Dear John letter to Donald Trump. If you haven't, go to my YouTube channel. I have a Dear John letter to Donald Trump in an unnecessary foreign accent. And I did play it on, I think, the show, one of the shows a week or two ago. So, you know, we're disappointed, but even Donald Trump is called white supremacist for reasons, for whatever. I guess because he said not all of us at Charlottesville were bad people. No, every single one was bad. We're saying that there were good people and bad people on both sides. Oh, no. Every single one of the Antifa is a good person. Every single one. I had pictures that I took of Antifa, of Dwayne Dixon holding his, what was that? And I can't remember. M's. AR 15 or whatever. I'm not a gun person. That he proudly said he had pointed at James Fields, which would have been just a minute or two before the fatal car accident. And I took pictures of, what would you call them? Nose ringed, topless women who were flipping the bird at police officers and posing for cameras or whatever. I don't know what that was supposed to represent. Very unattractive, actually. Communists who were going around with loudspeakers and proclaiming the need for a violent communist revolution. They were good people. Good people. Good people. We were bad. We're bad, naughty white people. White people being white, which is not good. And Western civilization in general. And the thing about the Cathedral de Notre Dame, it is a Catholic church, for sure. It is also a symbol of Western civilization. It's both. It's both. It's absolutely Christian, but it is, when you think of the architecture and the art, it is just a wonderful achievement of Western civilization, started in the 1100s, I guess completed in the 1200s. Nowhere else on earth besides Europe could such structures be built. Nobody had the capacity. Nobody. And, you know, there was even I think in the 800s in Japan, there was a very, very large, huge. It looks like kind of the size of the Lincoln Memorial, a wooden temple. It's a Buddhist temple. I think it's Buddhist or it's Shinto or whatever. It's a temple. I forgot the name of it. It's in Kyoto. I think it was built in the 900s, and it's enormous. And it's an amazing feat to be proud of. But you know, it's not as high. It's broad, but it's not particularly high. You know, it's like the Lincoln Memorial. It's not high. It's not completely enclosed. If it was enclosed, it would be pitch dark because it doesn't have, you know, the it the architecture, the engineering didn't allow for windows. And, you know, one of the things about these cathedrals, not just that they were big, but they were hollow, and that they were strong enough that you could have big holes for windows that were then filled with stained glass. This is something that nobody else could do. Nobody else, even the Romans couldn't do it. The Greeks didn't have the arch. The Romans had the arch, but they didn't have the flying buttress, and their arches were round and not these pointed arches that the Gothic architects had. The cathedrals of Europe in those years, what do you call those? It's certainly before the Renaissance. It's Middle Ages, I guess you would call it. I'm not sure, but those years, the 1200s, these cathedrals that were built were the pinnacle of human achievement at the time. They were what maybe the moonshot was in the 1960s, or what the pyramids might have been 5,000 years ago, or, you know, 4,800 years ago, whatever. So to have them attacked, it is an attack on Christianity. It's also an attack on Western civilization. And Western civilization is the great cultural achievement of, you know, the European people, the white people. Now, white supremacy. What's white supremacy? And what's white nationalism? Because we're all being attacked. And even Donald Trump, who is not, I mean, if he's white supremacist or white nationalist, he's hiding it pretty well. I mean, if you look at his record, what he's done as president. Now, to be fair, he did try to build a wall. He did try to shut down illegal immigration. He tried some things, and he might achieve some things. But so far, he's lost in all of that. But if you look at what he's actually been able to accomplish, it's certainly not very white supremacist. Personally, I grew up with a kind of liberal/left-wing background. And even though, like, you know, today there is an element of the left wing, of the left, that is very aware of Jewish power. And that's basically where I come from. Because if you're talking about the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, the anti-Vietnam movement, there were Republicans who opposed the Vietnam War, but the movement itself was primarily from the left. And the Cold War after that, even though it was Republicans like Richard Nixon or Eisenhower, or especially Reagan, who actually were responsible for detente and eventually ending the Cold War, the anti-Cold War forces in the public were mostly on the left. This is where I come from. So I was late. And so how did I get involved with David Duke, and how did I get involved with white nationalism? It's not that I'm a white nationalist at heart, but just looking around objectively, I'm not even necessarily pro-white at heart. I'm certainly not anti-white, but I'm honest. And when I see a completely anti-white establishment and anti-white, because what you're seeing in politics is so thoroughly anti-white, that really you don't even have to be pro-white. You just have to be honest and fair and say, my God, this isn't right. And probably the only way to rectify it is to start promoting pro-whiteness and even promoting white nationalism. So I am in favor of white nationalism, even though I don't feel it in my heart. But I am certainly in favor of it, because otherwise the whites are turning, or our countries are turning into zombies, and the zombie corpses are being ridden by Jews to world domination. I will be back after the break.
Bo, folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Cleaner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Cleaner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an Energy Cleaner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an Energy Cleaner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
Welcome back to the show. Welcome back. Those are the smooth sounds of Filbert Applebag. We'll be hearing from Filbert on Friday, I think. We'll be hearing from Thursday or Friday. I guess Friday, yeah. Well, good news, everyone. This just in. So, fearless leader Vladimir Putin and revered Supreme Commander Kim Jong-un will meet in Russia's Far East on Thursday. Thursday in Vladivostok. So we will be able to talk about it on the Thursday show because of time zones. They will have already met. I think this is great. Why? Oh, by the way, this is a call-in show. I'm going to give out the number. Nobody's called in. What, you didn't miss me? Okay, it's 1-800-313-9443, 1-800-313-9443. If William's listening, maybe William would like to talk about this. But I think it's a pretty big deal. Why haven't they met already? Or maybe they have, but not recently. So these are two people I think would have been key to the success of Donald Trump's presidency. And if there's any hope of salvaging Donald Trump's presidency, I think it runs through Moscow and Pyongyang. That in particular, Moscow. I mean, Vladimir Putin is the, in my estimation, he is the most capable statesman in the world for the 21st century. He is You know, I have a lot of respect for the accomplishments of Deng Xiaoping in the last century, the Chinese leader who transformed China. Not that he made the world better, but he made his part of the world a lot better. But Vladimir Putin is portrayed as our greatest enemy, a hostile force. Donald Trump collaborated with a hostile force in the elections, which is such nonsense on every level. If some Russians purchased Facebook ads in order to run memes, that's nothing. That's nothing. It's nothing compared to what Israel does in our elections, or a whole bunch of other countries, but Israel first and foremost. Hillary Clinton had a fundraiser in Israel during the election, where foreigners aren't allowed to donate to political campaigns in the United States, not federal ones at least. Well, of course, you could easily go to Israel and be surrounded by U.S.-Israeli dual citizens. Well, you could easily go to Washington and be surrounded by U.S.-Israeli dual citizens, or Hollywood, or New York. You could go to all these places. But still, to go to have a fundraiser in Tel Aviv, and then, of course, every presidential candidate, Trump not during the campaign, but pretty much every presidential candidate goes to Israel and puts on the yarmulke and bows in front of the Western Wall. Although, because women aren't supposed to do it, there's a little issue with Hillary. I guess there's an issue with Michelle Bachmann, although Michelle Bachmann had been on a kibbutz for a summer or something, helping the Jews that she worships. But that's a whole other story. No. And then also the Russian memes on Facebook, it's nothing compared to what the United States has done in Russia after the Soviet Union was dismembered and Yeltsin was president, and then the 1996 re-election. He wasn't going to be re-elected. It was going to be Gennady Zyuganov, the head of the Communist Party, who was going to win by a landslide. But you had a whole bunch of Americans who had been over in Russia, pretty much running the economy, helping Jewish soon-to-be oligarchs buy up all of the state property at bargain basement prices, with the advice of American Jews like Lawrence Summers and Peter Orszag and Jeffrey Sachs from Harvard. Summers, of course, was the Treasury Department, later became Secretary of Treasury and later President of Harvard, and Peter Orszag, later become Obama's budget director. He was in the lower person in the Treasury Department. And also the finance of George Soros and a bunch of other international Jewish bankers take over the country. Well, this made Yeltsin very unpopular. And so if you ever want to see how America interfered in Russian democracy, watch the HBO movie Spinning Boris. It stars that guy from The Fly, what was his name, and from what's his name, I want to say it's Michael Goldblum, right? Jeffrey Goldblum, isn't that his name? The Fly and The Big Chill and Jurassic Park, and he starred in that movie. And it's all about how Americans, although we know it's American Jews, had gone over and stolen the election for Boris Yeltsin. It's something that the current prime minister of Russia, Medvedev, he was part of the Yeltsin administration, and he admits that the election was stolen. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
How healthy are your arteries? Deteriorating circulation has a number of early warning signs. High cholesterol, high blood pressure, fingers and or toes often go cold, arms and or legs often go to sleep, sharp diagonal crease in the earlobe, short walks cause cramping or pains in legs, memory is not as good as it used to be, ankles swell late in the day, chest pain after physical exercise or emotional stress. If you experience even one of these symptoms, your circulatory system is crying out for attention. Extendivite is a natural solution to help improve your overall health. Extendivite is not your average heart tonic. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
National Bugle Radio, where I heap praise on Vladimir Putin and Kim Jong-un. That's me. And I really hope those are President Trump's potential best allies. I hope something happens with that. We have both William from Montana, who I tried to conjure up, and also Jeremy from Kentucky, who I was about to conjure up. Can we bring them both on at the same time? Mr. T, are you on top of that? William, are you there?
Yes, William is here.
And Jeremy, are you there?
Yes, Dr. Slattery, here.
Oh, okay, great. So we got the gang all together. So, William, had you heard anything about this summit meeting between Kim Jong-un and Vladimir Putin? Is this in the Russian media?
Yeah, this has been in the plans for quite some time. There's a lot at stake here. There's been, a lot of background to this. This wasn't just something that just came up on the spur of the moment. There have been lots of talks. Putin has, in many ways, towed the line in not violating any of these sanctions during the period of time when it looked like Trump was going to make overtures to make peace on the peninsula. But when Bolton and Pompeo's, came in and started making their ultimatums, totally surrender. It was like a unconditional surrender, and then we'll talk. Kim basically said, this isn't going to work. Get rid of Pompeo. Send somebody that has a degree of maturity. So Putin was waiting in the wings for this because there's a lot at stake. For Kim, he wants to bolster his international profile. And, just getting a selfie with him shaking hands with Putin will do that, even if the negotiations aren't substantive. But for Putin, this is a big issue because there's a lot to be gained. Putin and Russia has always wanted to have good relationships with North Korea because they have a lot of very valuable rare earth minerals that they just do not have the technology to get to. And Russia has made overtures on many occasions to say, we can develop this.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Russia has they want to sort of cool down. One of the things that happened in between North and South Korea was that America, in negotiating this peace settlement, also really made a big push to put a lot of military assets in South Korea, even more than what they had. And in particular, this sort of sophisticated missile system that really wasn't there to protect South Korea from North Korea, but it was also there to actually be able to target, targets in Russia and also China. So one of the goals of Putin is to sort of cool this down. And then also there is a big issue that's been in the works for a long time of Russia getting their Korean Peninsula pipeline, because both North Korea and South Korea, there are elements in both countries that really want to buy this gas and oil from Russia. And mm-hmm. Russia is highly motivated to do that, especially they need to have North Korea as a way to get their pipeline to
right.
South Korea, which
Korea,
is where the
Korea
real money
is. A peninsula, and the only way,
yep.
the only land border that South Korea has is with North Korea. And North
right.
Korea has two land borders, one with China and one with Russia. It has a land border with Russia.
Right.
And Russia does have, it is well positioned to conduct business with North Korea because, A, they have a history of it,
mm-hmm.
Going back to Soviet times, because often, the North Korea would kind of surf back and forth between Chinese and Soviet partners. They weren't exclusively in one camp or the other, the way most, the Eastern European countries were mostly in the Soviet camp, except Albania was in the Chinese camp. North Korea would move back and forth when China had crazy leadership, like during the Cultural Revolution or especially during the Cultural Revolution, they would surf closer to Moscow, and then other times it'd surf closer to China. But one other point I wanted to make was there's also a lot of ethnic Koreans who are Russian. They've had Russian citizenship. They have been, their ancestors have been in Russia for generations. Many of them were in the Vladivostok region and that Soviet Far East, because it wasn't really settled. It wasn't really under the control of any country until probably the 1800s. And there you had some
right.
Koreans there, Chinese, different groups there. Jeremy, do you have any questions or comments about this meeting before we kick it back to William?
Well, I would agree with William's assessment totally that, Putin's trying to defuse this. And I would also add, too, that, Russia, North Korea, and Iran all are, probably keeping pretty tight-knit together, because these seems to be the three countries that the U.S. is always, rattling their sabers at. I wanted to get a mainstream media take, and you know, I was looking in the Guardian, this article written by the journalist Andrew Roth. And they're kind of, Andrew Roth is saying that basically Putin's trying to promote a Russian-Chinese roadmap and hoping to reduce tensions to make North Korea abandon its nuclear program in exchange for Western concessions. So the media is kind of painting this as Putin's cooperating with the West to disarm North Korea, but I do not believe that take. What about you, William?
I was going to throw in another question, but I'll wait. My question will wait.
Well, like I say, this isn't something that's just come up on the spur of the moment. There's been a lot of negotiations because if you understand the geography of the area, you know, Vladivostok is sort of their eastern port to the world. And so Russia is highly motivated to sort of cool down. You know, it would be to everybody's advantage for there to be free trade, open, and this tension to be lessened. I mean, that was what I thought, and that's what was stated that Trump's program was to eventually end this war, you know, the Korean War, and make peace for the purpose of increasing business. I mean, everybody would love to have access to North Korea, and it's a very undeveloped country in many ways, and the infrastructure could really benefit from a lot of different countries going in there. I know China at one time wanted to do that. What has happened is that because of these sanctions, China really has their relationship, I think, in some ways has cooled because with North Korea, they sort of see this as a thorn in their side in many ways, and they don't want to get in and start, you know, pushing or putting pressure on Kim. That would also not be in their best interest in some ways. And so Putin seems to be one of the best potential peacemakers in this whole thing, and they're highly motivated to ease these tensions and keep South Korea from becoming another military base that allows the United States to surround Russia. And the relationships, like I say, there's some people in Russia that I've been reading that says, you know, China has, you know, they don't really need to make any sacrifices to help this North Korea situation. Because their real emphasis is maintaining this necessary trade with the United States, which is one of their biggest trading partners and very lucrative trading partners. So, you know, they have sort of cooled a little bit on this. And then, you know, if you look at what Pompeo and Bolton and these people have done, is they've basically gone in there and sabotaged this. Mm. And I feel that Putin is, like I say, one of the best people to go in there and say, let's have a win-win situation. He's not going to go there and say, here's what you have to do for us to have cooperation. It's going to be a win-win, a mutual benefit arrangement, which he's very good at. And so I think that the potential of this is very great. And I think a lot of people, including Japan, would like, there's many people in Japan and many people in South Korea that would love for this to be worked out. Mm-hmm. This is a very dangerous situation, and there's many people in South Korea that didn't like the way in which the United States made these negotiations. It was like, if there's going to be a war, guess who's going to get the blunt of it?
Right.
It's not going to be the United States. Going to be South Korea, and so
go ahead.
That's the potential, and like I say, this has not been something I've watched this develop for like 4 or 5 months, especially when the Vietnam thing blew up. This is that they were already talked that this would be a great opportunity for Putin to move in there and start really, like I say, having a win-win situation. Putin's not going to go in there and say, we need to dominate you in order to have a relationship.
Yeah.
And I think that that's the potential.
To an extent, off and on, I've been following South Korean politics for like 30 years. And in general, South Korea is pretty evenly divided between those who are hostile to North Korea and those who seek a rapprochement and eventual integration. Yep. And you see it reflected in their presidential elections, and they go back and forth. The current president, Moon Jae-in, they have term limits. They have one term, and I think it's a 5-year term. So he doesn't have a lot of time to do this, and so he's very much in favor of getting a rapid rapprochement that could lead to some sort of roadmap for at least a symbolic reunification. Maybe common foreign policy, because certain commonalities, and of course he took over from Park Eun-hye. Yep. She was the daughter of Park Jong-hee, who was the 18-year-long dictator during this 60s and 70s. Somebody who was a military dictator hostile to North Korea. So they go back, they flip back and forth, and the next election, if nothing happens, it's very likely going to be another hostile government. With Japan, Prime Minister Abe has made a career of being hostile to North Korea. But
a lot of money involved.
There's a lot of money involved. There, there's a small Korean minority in Japan they're involved in this to an extent. Prime Minister Abe's mentor was a Prime Minister Koizumi from the first 5 years of this century. And Koizumi had initially been pretty hostile to North Korea, but then suddenly flew over to North Korea and made some progress on some of their outstanding issues. And things can happen very fast. And Japan's not as focused. They don't have as much at stake in this as the South Koreans do, and the South Koreans seem to be taking the lead. One question I had was, in the Russian media, often President Putin is being portrayed as somebody who, if anything, is a little bit too gullible towards the West, or a little bit too compliant, a little bit too much willing to cooperate with the West when it might not be in Russia's interest. Was there pressure on Putin? Was it actually pressure on Putin to meet with Kim Jong-un?
I think it's in the West, most of the descriptions of these diplomacy type activities are, so polarized that you really can't get very much information. Well, it's yay, yay for our side, yay, yay for our side. Putin is more sophisticated than that. And he knows how to play the long game. He knows how to play, the end game. And so I think that he has just been waiting in the wings, watching this thing. I think he was, when you say he's gullible, my experience is that Putin is not gullible at all. But he's willing to give people the benefit of a doubt to establish dialogue, because his thing says it's better to be talking than not talking. Even if you, all you learn is how diametrically opposed you are on many issues. But the thing that he fears, and the thing that the people that he really works with fears, is this thing that has happened between Russia and the United States, which I remember we had a couple conversations about, now that the Mueller report is out, that's a vindication for Moscow. And all the people I read in Moscow, including the official spokesman like Dmitry Peskov and Lavrov, mm-hmm. Sergei Lavrov, they were under-impressed with this whole process, and they didn't
hold out.
Doesn't
the Mueller probe, doesn't it continue to assert that Russia interfered in our elections and attacked our democracy?
It's a religious cult. It has nothing to do with facts. It never had anything to do with facts. And you know, that's what the Russian commentators that I follow, and that's what some of the official spokesmen for the Kremlin said, that, you know, this isn't going to have a material substantive change, because it was never based on, you know, oh, the discovery of facts. Once we know the facts, we'll be able to know what was what. That was never the issue. This was political theater from day one.
Okay. We're about to go off to our break, but if the two of you can hang on till the other side of the break, I've got a question for both of you.
Thank you.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great, thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future. Wow, North Korean music. Who would have guessed? Welcome back to the show. So with William from Montana and Jeremy from Kentucky. Jeremy, you are going to be filling in for Farron Shoaf on May 4th, on the Saturday morning show. Is that correct?
That's correct. The alternative media with Farron Shoaf. In the works of negotiating an interview with Mr. Mike Enoch. He has agreed to do it.
Well-known alt-right figure. So that's something to look forward to. So the question I had for both of you, and I'll go to Jeremy first, is we had this Mueller probe. I call it, you know, one of the central parts of the Coup d'etat, you know, the Jewish coup d'etat. And while the pressure was on from the Mueller probe and other elements of the Coup d'etat, you saw President Trump, you know, he, not not establish friendly relations with Vladimir Putin like he said he would try to. You know, all sorts of things. The MAGA agenda became the MIGA, Make Israel Great Again agenda. And perhaps, and maybe probably, the coup d'etat is complete and there's nothing, you know, the presidency might be completely lost. But you do see, just the past couple of weeks, some movement on immigration, firing Kirstjen Nielsen, and there's might be something in the works. Is it possible that with the pressure of the Mueller probe gone, he might start pursuing a foreign policy a little bit closer to his campaign promises? So, Jeremy, first.
I don't think it has to do with the Mueller report as so much as it is Jared Kushner having control. Now that Mueller has been given the reins, I think we're going to see a lot more work done on this. Whereas, like, for example, you know, Trump could appoint Kolbla as, like, acting DHS. Mm-hmm. And he can be acting DHS for, like, what, 200-something days, 210 days. And then once the guy does a good job, then he could appoint him. And if the Senate tries to mess with that confirmation, you know, Kolbach can say, well, hey, look at my track record. So I think the presence of Mueller is what's going to do this, not necessarily absence of the Mueller report. That Mueller report's all
the presence
all
of fine. Mueller, meaning Stephen Mueller.
Stephen Mueller, yeah, he's a Jew that's kind of on our side for now in the most Steinleitian way. He wants to control immigration. He's doing a lot of good things.
And what do you think, William? Is there any,
well, like
any
say,
hope for improvement?
Yeah, I just say that the Russians, especially representatives of the Kremlin, were very underwhelmed by this whole thing. They knew that it was a charade. They knew that it was pretty much for the United States audience. They didn't see this as being substantive. Like I once said, you know, Preskov actually said it was like looking for a black cat in a dark room, which was doomed to failure, especially when you knew that there was no cat in the room at all. To answer this question a little bit more about Putin being gullible, Putin is going there, with an open agenda, I think, not because he trusts Kim or that he thinks that this is going to be a big chance for a turnaround, because I remember listening to a big conference that they were having, and Putin very candidly said that one of the problems with the North Koreans under Kim and under their structure is that they would rather eat grass than give up their nuclear program. Mm-hmm. And he said that's just the quality of them. And some people said, well, of course, that's for their survival, because the only reason why Trump and these people went there to try to negotiate something was that they did have this threat of a nuclear program. And Putin was very much interested in making sure that this contagion doesn't spread to other countries. He doesn't want proliferation of nuclear weapons, because that's just a bigger danger for all of us.
Okay. Well, thank you both for calling in, and we'll have to do something maybe even a little more pre-planned at some point in the future. And
thank you.
That's it for today, but I'll be back again
Thanks,
tomorrow
Jeremy.
With another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.